She's about to earn some bragging rights. I'm about to give it up like I've been holding back all night. Girl, take pride in what you wanna do, even if that means a new man every night inside of you. Baby, I don't mind. You can tell by how I roll. Cause I click hard on my cup, on my toes, like I'm so thrown. I'm with this one from my last show, ECG, and I met. So I'm only here for one night, and I'm gonna be a memory. See it in my ear, so I can hear what you say to me. I got guns full of that rosé, smoke anything that's past me. Don't worry about my voice, I won't need it for what I'm about to do to you. Bad bitch girl, I'm like you used to. I might have to take a number when I'm through with you. All I ask of you is try to hurt my memory. Make me remember you like you remember me. Bad bitch girl, I think I'm what you used to. I might have to take a number when I'm through with you. All I ask of you is try to hurt my memory. Make me remember you like you remember me.
Rapping ass, like years past the glass. Hit it, don't have to pass. Nigga, we the new aftermath. Niggas after fame, I just have to laugh. Niggas after fame, I'm after cash. He's a fan, I'm a player. I'm a man, just a hater. And I always smoke papers. So you tell that I'm Taylor. Nigga, listen, break it down on the weed on the island of my kitchen. And then the thing goes down without permission. Look, everything I got on, I was made for. Everything that I got on, I came for. All the shit that you see, I done slaved for. All the cars in the crib, yeah, that's paid for. Need I say more? Spend so much money on clothes and fucking start making my own. I hope that you're rolling one up while you singing alone. And no, I was rolling one while I was making the sound. Pour out some shots. You're taking too long. Young and the rich, and plus all of my friends on that Bombay and lemonade.
Ricky Bobby! Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing out there today? I have to welcome y'all to the Side John. Now, I'm your host, Dennis Holmes. This is my co-host, the Chocolate Girl, Sharon Mullen. How you doing, Chocolate Girl?
Chocolate Girl is fine. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good.
I gotta blame you, though. You hit me on to some movies, some free movies last night, and I was up too late watching movies, so my throat's kind of scratchy. That's your fault. Yeah.
Last night I was trying to go to sleep, but I end up watching Tyler Perry, The Family That Prays. Ain't seen it in years. You know, I was just trying to watch something just to put me to sleep, but I ended up watching the whole movie. I couldn't even go to sleep like I wanted to. But, you know, we got the morning show going aside, John. you know, we was going through a list of names. We couldn't really come up with nothing that was like too catchy, but the side joint really, you know, caught my eye. And
goodness. For those that are not from Philadelphia, that have no idea what Joan means, can you explain that? Can you enlighten the viewers on what that means, please?
Yes. Joan is a noun. Is known as a person, place, or a thing if you don't know what a noun is. So in Philadelphia, we say Joan a lot. You know, like if we see some girl we like over there, like, oh man, look at that Joan over there. She nice. And you know, tonight we're gonna go out, man. Where we going? We're going to the same Joan we went to last night. You know, and you know, those are how our conversation is. They just built that building around the corner from the old Joan, you know. Those are conversations in Philadelphia.
And see that equates to the word joint from where I'm from. We used to say joint. Like, that's the joint, where, and joint wasn't talking about joint. It was just joint, like you were saying, we going to the last, to the same joint we went to last night. We used to say joint. So yeah. I equate joint with that. And now that helps me understand what it is you're talking about. At first I was like, what's she talking about?
The side joint.
I didn't know a lot it was of people, a real word. Remember, you had to tell me it's a real word. Look it up.
It's in the dictionary. I think I made the dictionary about 2014 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I just made the Webster dictionary. Oh, I think it's the Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary.
Oh, okay. Well, it's there now. I saw it, y'all. Go Google it. JAWN. It's a word. It's right. A thing.
Right. Yeah, like I said, for those who are out there thinking that, you know, if there's anybody thinking anything, I am the side joint. I ain't got no problem being the side joint. I am the side joint.
So what does that make me?
You're the main joint.
Yeah, I'm the main joint.
You're the main joint.
I'm the main joint. Okay. I'll be the main joint.
you're the head honcho, the entree. I'm the side joint. I'm mashed potatoes. You understand what I'm saying?
Crazy.
Yes, that's usually how that go. But yeah, here we are, Saturday mornings. We're gonna be coming to you. I'm gonna try each and every Saturday morning. I'm trying not to miss not one. You know, hopefully don't nothing go on too crazy. But we're gonna be here, and I like to thank the Chocolate Girl for, you know, giving me her time so we could do this show.
No problem. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Okay, all right. Now, one of the first things that you said we should talk about, you know, the police officer that killed George Floyd ended up getting 22 and a half years sentencing. And, you know, a lot of people was pissed off about it. Now, I thought he was going to get 25 years personally. And I think you told me that the max he could get was 40.
Yes.
In Minnesota. But according he still to has to go to...
What, according to the way he was charged, that's the maximum he could have gotten was 40 years.
Okay.
If my understanding is correct from what I heard and what I read.
Okay. Yeah, because a lot of people were saying he should have got the max. But you know, you also said that he will get charged also in federal court.
Yes. According to... when I was listening to the coverage, the news commentator stated that he also faces federal charges in this particular incident as well. So it's not over. And that's what he said. It's not over. He may get more time because he's facing federal charges as well.
Okay.
And this is something else I wanted to point out. We have to remember there were also three other officers that were there that participated in Mr. Floyd's murder. And they are also facing trial as well. So it's not all about Chauvin. It's going to be about Chauvin and the other three individuals whose names escape me right now. But yeah, they're also going to have to go through their own trials.
Okay.
But how are you feeling about it? How do you feel about the 22 and a half years?
Yeah, well, I thought it was going to be 25. I was saying it for a couple months. I got a feeling he's going to get 25. You know, a lot of people saying he need to get 100 years. He need to die in jail. You know, we don't know exactly what's going to go on. I'm just glad he didn't get off easy. You know, like I think you were telling me yesterday, there was somebody in Florida that only got 10 years.
In Texas. You know, when John, I forgot his first name, in Texas, when he was shot in his apartment by the white female police officer who claimed she thought it was her apartment.
Wow.
I think his name was Malcolm John. And when she went in and shot him, she only got 10 years. She was convicted, but she only got 10 years for her conviction. And I felt like that was... I felt like that was really a travesty. She should have got more time than 10 years. Because not only because of the murder, but the way that she behaved after the murder and the fact that she still wouldn't own up to the fact she knew that was not her apartment. She's not telling the truth.
Right.
And I never believed her story. And so it was not an accidental murder to me, in my opinion, but she only got sentenced to 10 years and she could possibly get out earlier than the 10 years. She might only serve like 7 of those 10, maybe even less, more like 4. So when you think about this case, which to me was even more heinous, just the way that the four officers conspired together to basically snuff out this man's life, even though it would have been more difficult to prove intentional homicide, but I believe that Chauvin had murder in his heart when he did what he did. But that's regardless of that, the conviction was of accidental second degree murder. And with accidental second degree murder, 40 years is the maximum. Something that I just encourage people to think about is the fact that Malcolm John was killed, and I hope I'm saying his first name right, but he was killed and the officer only got 10 years. Only about 4% of police officers who are found, who are even arrested or even named in an officer-involved homicide, are even charged. And then out of that 4%, like only 3% are convicted. And out of that 3%, around 3% more are even sentenced with real time. So it's a rarity that this happens. And I'm not trying to say, oh, well, you could have got 0, so you need to be just happy with that. You need to just settle. I'm not saying to settle. I just want people to understand what the gravity is of this sentencing. 22 and a half years. First of all, there's no amount of time that would satisfy me. Let me just put that out there. George Floyd is gone. His daughter has to grow up without her father now. And the way that he was killed over a counterfeit, reports of a counterfeit $20 bill, which he probably didn't even know was counterfeit. Let's just be honest. We get dollar bills, $20 bills from all kinds of places, and people pass counterfeits all the time. It doesn't mean that the person who's passing it knew it was counterfeit. See, that's the first thing. I know this from personal experience because I got one before when I was working at a pizza restaurant.
Well, I knew a guy back in the day, he used to turn your fives into 50s. So,
this one was a $20 bill. It was fraudulent, but you could barely tell. You couldn't really tell. And back then, this was in the 90s, early 90s, they didn't have as much technology to spot that stuff. So I've been a victim of having a counterfeit bill before. Okay. So I'm saying all this to say, just people, I understand this is emotional. I was disappointed. I was more set off, though, by the words his mother spoke. Did you hear what she said?
I try not to listen to mothers on sons' situations because, you know, not all mothers, but you got some mothers that you know, they'll go to jail with them to prove their point, you know, and, you know, I'll go all the way. Like, there's a lot of mothers out there with sons that'll go all the way overboard. You know, they know their son and killed everybody in the house, but still they say, oh, my son ain't do it, you know. So I try not to listen to that. But I did hear that what she was saying was overboard. And, you know, her son ain't do it purposely. He's not a racist and all that. And, you know, it's too late for that.
She flat out said he didn't do it. Not purposely. She just flat out said he was innocent. I believed in your innocence from the beginning, and I still do now. And the lies that the media, she talked about the lies that the media and the so-called witnesses told on her son. She mentioned that they, like, they were all lying. We didn't just witness this on video and everybody lied. That's basically what she's saying. And she didn't have any sympathy. She didn't show any sympathy to the family. I believe she might have said in the beginning, you know, my condolences or to the George Floyd family. She might have just said that, but it was like reading a menu item. No feeling in her voice, nothing. And she showed absolutely no care. She spent the entire time talking about how wonderful her son is and how people have lied on him. If that is not a signal that something is wrong here, then there is no signal. That just told me everything I needed to know about him, watching her. Yeah.
I have to agree with that.
I mean, she talked about how, oh, he loved being a police officer and how he would volunteer to come in when on his days off when they needed help. What she doesn't understand is that's not really a good thing. That's not so honorable, not in these days and times, because it seemed like to me the reason why you could interpret that, I'll say that, you can interpret that to me, oh, he's just so bloodthirsty to bust some people upside the head. He went back for more, even when he wasn't scheduled to be on duty. So it's not necessarily an honorable thing that he was always volunteering to go back in and work extra hours to help out. Not in my opinion.
Well, like I said, I try not to listen to too many of them, you know. So, like, there's a lot of mamas out there ride or die for their sons, knowing their sons.
Well, you know what, Dennis? I'm ride or die for my son, too. But as I said it to you yesterday, if that were my son, I would tell him I love him. But I would also mention the fact, two things. I am so sorry for the Floyd family and their grief. I'm sorry. And number two, now, son, you're going to have to face the consequences of your actions.
Right.
But I will be here to support you. I'll come visit you. I love you. I'm always going to be your mom. But you're going to have to face these consequences. And I'll be praying for you. Be strong, my son. This is what I would say to him. But I darn sure wouldn't stand there and act like he didn't do anything wrong in his own video. Be different if it wasn't on video. I could see her doing that. But it's there for the world to see. Come on, lady. Come on.
Well, with that being said, we found out the other day that Miami had a condo that collapsed south side of Miami. And, it was kind of shocking to me because I was like, you know, all that money that they pay in Miami for taxes and real estate, and they got a condo that just said, you know, and I think it was half the condo that collapsed, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
you know, like the other half still got a little bit of wing left in it.
Yeah, but from what I understand, they've evacuated everybody out of the whole complex because all of it is unstable now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That definitely got to be true. And it's kind of crazy because I'm I'm going to Miami in August. Uh-oh. Taking my daughter for her birthday. And I was
Watch out, Miami.
Yeah.
Watch out.
And when I seen that, I was like, well, I'll be dang. You got to watch where you about to stay at in this joint. Whole condo collapse? Yeah.
Well, 3 years ago, though, a consultant encouraged the managers to repair some of the cracked columns and crumbling concrete. So there was problems. There were pre-existing conditions. They told them to repair this in 2018.
Yeah, they ain't gonna
do it. 3 years later, they hadn't gotten around to it. They were just about to start.
Well, that's all. That's what they always say.
Yeah, and now.
But you had the whole COVID to fix that.
Exactly.
You had the whole COVID to fix that. So that they're just about to start stuff. That I don't believe. You had the whole COVID. You didn't want to fix it.
Well, and they told them it was major structural damage. It wasn't like they told them it was a little crack here, a little crack there. They told them it was major. And so now, instead of spending the multi-million dollars to repair, they're going to have multi-millions to pay in lawsuits.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
Lawsuits, mm-hmm. and then if they want to build it back up, that'd probably be a good thing.
13 stories. It's a 13-story building.
And somebody probably bought, you know, the penthouse, because a lot of people try to buy like the top floors,
mm-hmm.
and rent those out throughout the year, because a lot of people just come down Miami. So, yeah, they got a lot of lawsuits. But they'll probably, somebody will buy that spot and rebuild it back up. Trust me. Within the next 2 years, it'll be built back up. That's one thing that I do know.
You think so?
Yeah, Miami, somebody always, there's always a condo next to a hotel, and all that stuff always next to each other in Miami.
Well, do you think it'll be the same people, or do you think they'll be forced to sell it to another group?
Like I personally think it'll be the same people under a different LLC. That's what I personally believe.
I guess it depends on how long their money is. You may be right. They have that long money. They could do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tonight is also fight night in ATL.
Yeah.
And we have...
Oh, it's in ATL? Okay.
It's in ATL.
Okay.
We have Gervonta Davis fighting Barrels, which Gervonta Davis moved up 2 weight classes to go ahead and fight this guy who was undefeated. Now, Gervonta is known as a knockout artist, mm-hmm. and he's trying to go claim a new belt.
So which weight class is this in particular?
I think this is the 140 to be exact. I could be wrong.
And which boxing federation or whatever is it?
I think it's WBC.
WBC, okay.
I think it's WBC. It might be the IBC. It's a lot of them, but I think it's the WBC. Yeah.
I can't keep them straight.
Don't feel bad. I'm
from the time when it was just one.
Yeah. don't feel bad. But the one thing I didn't like about it the one thing I don't like about boxing is the lack of promotion. You know, you'll find out there's a fight maybe a week or two before on certain fights. You know, that Floyd Mayweather fight, we knew about that fight a month in advance. Everybody knew what was coming, what was going on. His production is good, but everybody's production ain't the same. Everybody's promotion ain't the same.
Who's doing this fight?
Mayweather's doing this fight.
So, but why isn't he promoting this one the same?
I don't understand it. I can't give you, and Showtime is doing it too. And Showtime got a lot of shows, and I'm trying to figure out how is this not at the top of their list, especially right after that Mayweather fight. Like, the Mayweather fight was just on June 6th. It should have been promotion right there to let you know, hey, June 26th, make sure you watch out for this fight.
What do you think? Could it be because Tank and the other guy just aren't as popular, or?
Well, Tank is his number one fighter under his belt. Well,
that's what I was reading. I was reading that he's like his number one.
Yeah, that's his number one fighter. But I just can't understand how is this not promoted better?
Well, and then there's, he's usually, like you said, he's usually a marketing genius with it.
Yeah, he is. He does a great job.
So,
and it's not just Mayweather. Like this may have been the worst promotion I've seen Mayweather do.
Floyd, if you're listening, come holler at us and let us know what happened. What happened? Why the difference in the marketing, bruh? Because usually he even has me watching the commercials and the build up, and you know I don't even care for boxing.
I haven't watched
a Boxing Max since that first Mayweather Pacquiao. That's the last one I watched.
Wow. He's usually a marketing.
The only reason why I watched that one is because I went to somebody's fight party and I was there for the party. I didn't really care about the match.
He's usually a marketing genius.
Mm-hmm.
And then I mean, I don't know. But then other fights, you know, you look at like also who fights tonight in Vegas is Lomachenko fights tonight. And, you know, his last fight he lost 7 months ago to Teofimo Lopez. Right. So he's trying to get back in the swing of things. But I don't understand why they got both of their fights in the same night. So you know somebody ain't going to get the pay-per-view ratings that they're supposed to get. So it's a lot of things in boxing that just don't make sense to me. Having two guys fighting the same night that at one point was in the same weight division, a lot of that stuff just don't make sense to me. I don't know. Maybe I got to see exactly, you know, what else goes on in boxing. I'm not 100% of a boxing guy, but I watch it and I like boxing. But I like to see, you know, better promotion, you know, to get me up, to make me want to spend $80 on a fight. Oh, yeah, this fight coming on. Let me spend my $80 here. Or this fight coming on. Let me spend my $80 there.
You watch it enough to give any predictions?
Yeah, I do watch enough to get. Well, I feel as though Tank Davis is going to win. And I think Lomachenko is going to get back on his feet. Now,
What about Martinez and Cordova?
No, I don't watch it that much to get those predictions. Those guys, I don't, you know, those ain't, you don't really enough know big about names. Them.
But Davis and Barrios, you said Davis.
Yeah, Davis.
And Lomachenko is going to beat Nakatani, you say?
Yeah. He got to get his name back. After he lost the belt to Teofimo Lopez, he got to go get his name back.
And he lost that belt when?
7 months ago.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That wasn't that long ago, because I remember everybody expected Lomachenko to get to retain his belt.
Yeah, Teofimo Lopez is a different type of fighter. He's, you know, in the words of Rashawn Jackson, he's more of a Cotto type of fighter. You know, he could take a lot of hits. But he also can give him back. So you ain't going to knock him out.
So he's like Rocky. You can hit me. I ain't going down.
Yeah, you ain't going to be able to knock him out, no. Somebody might do it, but it damn sure ain't going to be easy.
That Philadelphia connection. You want me to read the comments?
Yes.
All right, so Jay Will said, yo. Ricky Bobby said, what up? And Ricky Bobby also said, Dennis, you got way too much energy for a Saturday morning. And said, I'm going to stick with Sharon. I don't know what Ricky Bobby talking about there, but they're going to stick with me. And Ricky Bobby said, I've heard joint, but John, it's a Philly thing. It's just a Philly thing.
Yeah.
Blade said, I'm going to have to add John in my vocab. So you're teaching the people, Dennis. You're expanding their vocabulary. And Blaze also said, shout out to all of Cy Jones. Buck Flair said, happy birthday, Sharon. Thank you, Buck Flair. And he also said that Chauvin's going to die in jail. He gets no sympathy from me. I can tell you that much. Blaze said, I'm with Dennis on the Mama Talk. Got you. Mama John's defensive of their babies. He said Mama John. He called her Mama John. She a Mama John, Dennis.
Mama John.
A Mama John. John. I have to still practice saying that word right. But Blaze said, love being a police officer or loves the so-called power. Yeah, that's what he loves, the power. Power Tripper's going to trip on power. All right, got a shower and work. And he wished us a good show. BJ Samuel says, good morning. And tonight is versus. Forget that flight, that fight, he said.
Oh, tonight's versus. Oh, yeah, he's talking about Soulja Boy and Bow Wow. That's what he want to watch.
I'm rolling with the Bow Wow. Got to represent the Buckeye State. He's from Columbus, Ohio, an hour from my hometown. So I'm rolling with Bow Wow. That's who I'm rolling with. Homeboy. Okay. Got to go with the homie.
Okay.
Who you going with?
Bow Wow. I don't know too many Soulja Boy songs.
Yeah. Crank that. That's about it. All right. Back to you, sir. Those are all the comments.
Oh, okay. Barnes & Noble is out to support the NCAA's, my fault, HBCU, NC State. For the next 2 years, all the students.
It's North Carolina A&T.
Oh, is that North Carolina A&T. For the next 2 years, all of the students will be getting free books. And I think you said they were getting something else.
For the undergrads. Well, it's a whole program. They're offering all kinds of things for the professors, for the students. But mainly it's the textbooks. Textbooks in college are just outrageously expensive. It's just crazy. And yeah, they do have the used books and you can buy back, sell back books and all that stuff, but they're still expensive. And a lot of the times people share books. They do all kinds of creative things to get the books needed for their classes. So finding out that the lack of the ability to get these books is what's keeping some students out of attending college, they saw a need. And they've agreed to donate to a student 2 years worth of free books.
That's great.
So if I start undergrad at A&T in the fall, for 2 years from 2021 to 2023, I get free books from Barnes & Noble for my classes. That is just outstanding.
That is great. That is definitely great. Shout out to Barnes & Noble for the support.
Yeah. You know, they're one of the bookstores that lasted through all the recessions. And I support Barnes & Noble. I know a lot of people like to get their books and things from Amazon, but I prefer to get mine for Barnes & Noble. Plus, it's only about 3 minutes from my house, so I can just roll over there and get it.
Now, do they got a coffee shop or something inside Barnes & Noble?
Coffee shop, and I haven't seen a Barnes & Noble that didn't have one.
I ain't never been in.
Oh, man, you got to go in there. It's a relaxing place to just go and chill.
I might fall asleep.
You can take your laptop and hook up to their public Wi-Fi, as long as you're not doing anything personal on it, and just do all kind of stuff while you're sitting in there in a relaxing atmosphere. I do that a lot. Well, okay. I shouldn't say a lot. It's COVID, so I don't do anything a lot anymore. But before COVID, I would do that.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people like to go to Starbucks, but I'd rather go to Barnes & Noble.
Somebody told me. Now, if you was going on, let me ask you this. If you was going on a date, right? Mm-hmm. And your first date that you met him on, you would go to, y'all go to Barnes & Noble. Would that be a good date?
It would for me because I love books. I'm a books chick. I love reading. I love books. I love the smell of books. I love the touch and feel of books. I'm not an e-books person. No, I want to read and touch the book. I'm a hardcover versus a softback book person too. So yeah, it would be cool. It would be different. And I like anything that's different, unusual, not your run-of-the-mill dinner and a movie.
Yeah. See, that's kind of me, dinner and a movie.
Well, there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying I don't like dinner and a movie.
No, but you say, you know, you try to spice things up, do something a little different.
Yeah. It would be impressive to me if he invited me out on a date and the first date is at Barnes & Noble. Let's go to Barnes & Noble. And I would just try to see what he's going to do with that. Because it has to be more than just walking in Barnes & Noble and walking out. Something has to happen at Barnes & Noble. So the date part would be, what are we going to be doing at Barnes & Noble? You know what I'm saying? That's where the interesting part would come in.
Probably just conversation, trying to get to know you.
And, you know, go to some of the sections and say, what's your favorite section? Well, let's go over there and see what they got in there. Because this sometimes it's quite interesting how to see how books are not being promoted anymore. Books used to be heavily promoted. They're not anymore. Well, we all know why.
Yeah. Internet. Internet killed that. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't think it killed it all the way, but it
not did. All the way. But like I said, that the Barnes & Noble survived all the merging and the closing of all the bookstores, like Walden Books is gone. Some others are gone, but Barnes & Noble still there. Books & Company, I used to belong to Books & Company. That's gone. Yeah.
Hell, there's certain libraries that's gone.
Oh, yeah. Locations of libraries shut down, so forth.
Libraries shut down in Philadelphia. A lot of libraries shut down in Philadelphia.
Something. It's America. You got the internet, though.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be the greatest thing. The internet.
And the ebook.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the basketball, the National Basketball Association has given out their USA basketball team. I was excited to see a lot of players on the team. What I wasn't excited for was the fact that Kevin Love made the USA basketball team going to Tokyo. And, you know, I was saying it. The next thing you know, I seen even Jalen Rose said it. And he was like, he wanted to know, why was America scared to send an all-black basketball team to Tokyo? Why did they have to pick the, as he called, token-ish Kevin Love to go? He said Kevin Love didn't even have a good season this season. He was top five in scoring on his team. And I think he was top three in rebounds on his team. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even, you know, the best player on his team. Why is he going to the Olympics? He went further to say that it reminds him of the 92 Olympics, where he felt as though Christian Laettner was the favoritism pick. And he said that instead of Kevin Love going, that Bam Adebayo should be the one that goes. DeAndre Ayton,
right,
should have been the one that goes to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of agree with that. I also wouldn't be ashamed to see Carmelo Anthony go for another one. Let him get as many gold medals as possible, like the rest of them people.
And we all know how much Melo cherishes the Olympic gold medal.
Yes, he does.
He thinks very highly of that. To his credit.
Man, but Kevin Love, to me, I just didn't feel as though should have went to these Olympics.
But do you really think it's a matter of tokenism, though? Would you go so far as to call it tokenism? As if
that's what he said.
They just did not want to send an all-black team. Do you really believe that?
I believe it, yes.
Why?
They needed a token white boy? I believe it. I think they could have picked somebody else, though.
But why do you really believe that that's what it was about?
Yeah.
Seriously, do you feel that in your heart?
I don't, 100%. I don't know. It don't make sense to me why he went.
See, that's my issue. If you look at the list of the 12-man roster, Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Zach LaVine, Kevin Love, Bam Adebayo, who is going, Draymond Green, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Jeremy Grant. If you look at those players, and Kevin Love is the only non-black player.
Yes.
Okay? That is true. But
you also look at that list, Kevin Love is the only one that hasn't even been playing well in the last couple of years.
True. I agree with that as well. But are there any other non-white players that could have gone that's not on this list? If they wanted to go, do we know who wanted to go?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who else wanted to go.
Yeah, because see, last I checked, it's not a mandatory thing. You don't have to go. It's a voluntary thing. And because of that, that's the only thing that's causing me to hesitate to say they just didn't want to send an all-black roster. I don't know. I'm very careful. You know, I'm very big on racial issues. You know that. You and I have talked many times. But what I am careful of is I do not want to make it about race when it's not. When it's not clearly about race. When it's, you know, when it's just, it could go either way. I'm careful. You know, I don't think racial first on everything that happens. I try to look at it objectively and I'm very careful about it because when it is about race, it's so important that we get it out there that it is about race that I'm careful about calling just anything about race. And now, most of the time, I agree with Jalen Rose when he says things. So it's hard for me to have departure with Jalen because I love Jalen Rose. You and I have talked about that too. Being a Spartan from Michigan State, I don't know how, but I don't know how he's won me over being a Wolverine. But
his energy, his energy. He's always always smiling. He's always smiling.
His spirit and energy just won me over. And I just think he does an excellent job at what he does. I know some people listening to us may not agree, but I really like Jalen Rose a lot and I respect him a lot. But on this right here, I'm not sure I 100% agree. I'm a little bit hesitant to say that this was tokenism. Even though I agree with you, I question how he made this roster, given the fact that his last two seasons have not been anything to speak about. And his behavior in that one game. Remember that one game when he just threw the ball in? Right. Instead of inbounding it correctly, he just threw it in. And the other
Like he didn't really care about basketball. Dame Lillard
got the ball and made a score with it. And then he ended up having to apologize to his team. To me, that's just as bad as Isaiah and them walking off the court in the finals. I wouldn't have invited Kevin Love to be on USA Basketball because
to me it just don't seem like basketball is something that he's thinking about. And if you represent the United States of America, we don't need you second guessing if basketball is something that you want to do.
Yeah, are you really? Are you in or are you ain't? People say, "Are you in or you ain't?" You know, either you is or you ain't.
Some things I just don't understand.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if I 100% agree that it's tokenism, but I do question how he made the roster. That's where I'm at.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I still do question that, how he made the roster.
Get to the comments?
Yes, that still don't make sense to me. For some reason, I can't read comments on my phone no more. They don't pop up like they used to.
Well, BJ Samuel said, me and Sharon finally agree. I don't know why he keeps spelling my name with two R's in it. It's one R, BJ, one R. And he said, the fuck she trying to do in the bookstore? Or you read books and you talk about books and you, man, it's a lot to do in the bookstore. I've had a date in the bookstore, which is why when you said that, it was quite interesting. It just reminded me of the date I did have in the bookstore.
Oh, okay.
It was quite fun. We were there 2 hours.
Damn.
But anyway, that's all the comments, though. BJ just wanted to know what I'll do in the bookstore. Well,
yeah, I always be thinking about weird places for dates. You know what I mean? Like, you know, something that's different.
Well, I tell you what, you come here to Durham, there's lots of places to go there that are not typical places for dates. Like Duke Gardens is one of the most beautiful places with natural, you know, greenery and stuff. Oh, it's beautiful. Very relaxing place. Okay. That's just one example.
Okay.
Back to you, Chief.
Well, big news coming out of your favorite team's camp. The Steelers have cut their 6-time Pro Bowler, David DiCaprio, right guard.
DiCaprio,
the right guard for y'all team. Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, even myself were saying, how is that offensive line going to hold up this year? I was saying it more so because y'all were older, not because, you know, y'all played horrible last year. I don't feel as though y'all played that horrible. I feel as though y'all just were older. And I felt as though when y'all lost Pouncey, y'all lost the heart of y'all offensive line.
He was.
Right.
But here's the thing. I asked you a question last night. I said, but how many people are on the offensive line? And would you tell me?
5.
And how many people did we remove from the offensive line? 4.
4.
So if 4 out of those 5 are gone, that's a good thing, since they were not playing that well last season. They did not play as a typical Steelers offensive line. I'll put it that way. They may have been one of the worst in the league. And as far as performance is concerned, you got to remember they were old. That's one. And then there's DiCaprio. I told you I pulled this article up and I found out the real reason why he was let go.
Right.
And the real reason why, because he had an ankle injury that had been lingering. Do you know that David DiCaprio had only missed one game the entire time he had been with the Steelers? He's been there like 7 or 8 years, never missed a game. Only missed one game. So what that tells me is he said himself that he got this ankle injury his rookie season. So what he's been doing for the last several years is playing on a bum ankle, and he's been able to deal with it and disguise it enough to play well enough. And when you pull up his stats got increasingly better all the way up until about 3 years ago. Then all of a sudden it just dropped and stagnated.
Right.
And now his ankle, since he never did the work and got it repaired when he should have gotten it repaired, now it's causing him a lot of problems.
Yeah, so
now he's got to figure out, am I going to go somewhere else and play, or am I going to retire? He might want to retire.
Oh, maybe he could just take time off. I don't think he need to retire.
I said he might. It depends on what they can do. Because, see, I know just from having an old foot injury that when I had to have my foot surgery, they had to repair. What happened was I broke my foot, had a hairline fracture, did not realize it was broken for a year. So for a year, they kept trying to find this fracture because I kept having pain and swelling, and they couldn't find it. And they had to do a bone scan with dye. They had done all these other scans. Nothing would show a fracture, but they finally had to do an actual bone scan with dye to find this fracture. And by that time, it had healed over some improperly. So yeah, I was walking around with my foot, but every now and then, pain like nobody's business and swelling. It was terrible. But then other days, it's just fine. That's probably what's been going on with him and his ankle. And he's been able to play with it all these years, get his money, get his accolades. So I think he was like a three or four time Pro Bowler and 2-time all NFL. So, I mean, he's been performing, but now we're moving in a different direction. We're trying to shore up that line, and you've got this lingering ankle injury that's actually affected your play for the last 2 or 3 years. So, no, we had to move on from him. But now he's bashing us. You know, it's really funny how when players leave a team, they always have something to bash the team about. That's funny.
A lot of players bash your team.
Oh, yeah. They bash.
Even former players bash your team. Coaches, players.
We are the Steelers.
Y'all are the top organization in the NFL. I agree with that.
And anytime you're the top organization, you're a target.
Yeah.
So,
I agree with that.
I do not pay too much attention to what these former players say about our team. I just say, hey, So I wish you well. That's what I said when Villanueva left in free agency. I was like, I wish you well. I wish him well. I don't care what he says. I wish him well.
Yeah, I sit back and I think about it. You know, David DeCastro, I believe if he was to retire today, he might get in the Hall of Fame. I believe so. He's not top five in his position. I mean, he played in the era with Marshall Yanda and Zach Martin and mm-hmm. Brandon Brooks and Quentin Nelson. So I don't know if I would say he was top five, but he was close. He was close. But I can't guarantee him that fifth spot.
Well, he definitely, if he were to get in, he definitely wouldn't be first ballot. It would come later.
Yeah. Well, they don't appreciate offensive linemen like that first ballot.
Well, that's what you said. I'm more inclined to believe you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's why they released him. He has a lingering ankle injury that was never repaired. So.
And it's hard to get off when you. If your ankle ain't right, it's hard to get off. As I played offensive line, it's hard to get off. I had an ankle injury in my senior year of high school. And mm-hmm. I couldn't really get that burst that I needed.
Yeah, and he plays the guard position. Burst is very important. Lateral movement and burst. Right. That's all you're doing.
You're doing a lot of pulling as guard.
Yeah.
Man, but I do wish him the best. I think he'll... get the surgery he need, get himself together, and then get back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Probably play another 5 years.
Well, we already replaced him with Trey Turner.
Yeah, I seen that.
Free agent. Good performer.
I think Trey Turner used to play for the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm good with it. I'm good. I'm excited for the season, Dennis. I know people been chirping about our offensive line, but from what I see, they are doing Steeler things around this offensive line, and people are going to be surprised. Everybody expects them to be dead last or horrible, and Najee Harris not going to be able to run because there's not going to be any holes made for him and all this. Being is old, they're not going to be able to protect him. Okay. Mm-hmm. And like I told you last season, what is Sharon going to say?
Oh, still going to Super Bowl.
No, Sharon's going to say, okay. Don't hurt me. I let the team do the talking on the field. So BJ Samuels, of course, the ultimate Ravens fan, is going to say, we're going to go 2-15. Ha, ha, ha.
Mm-hmm.
Laugh now, cry much later, BJ. That's all I got to say. And he said, oh, Dennis, is she lying to us or herself? I'm not lying at all. I said to you, I'm watching. See, you're not paying attention. I'm watching the live broadcast from Pittsburgh. I go actually go online and see these live broadcasts they do from the training camps. And they give feedback on the offensive line, the rookies, the first team, and the second team. And they take player by player. They talk about the good, and they talk about the bad. And one particular player, they were saying that he was having a little difficulty off the block. And so what they did was they got him some specialized training. And 2 weeks later now, he's falling in line with the scheme.
He got no choice, so they're gonna cut him. You gotta get it together.
See, you either, but this is the thing. He didn't want to be cut, so what did he do? He got it together and did what he was supposed to do. But he also had coaches that know how to coach it out of him. And now he's doing what he's supposed to do. Oh, okay. We might keep you now. I mean, that's what any team does. I'm not saying this is just special for the Steelers. But if you are a good organization and you know how to coach up your players, that's the kind of work you put in. And that's the results you're going to get. So, and this, like I said, this is not just because it's my team, BJ. I follow the team because it is my team. But I'm saying I'm not going to talk crap about your team if I don't know what I'm talking about, because I'm not watching the Ravens camp. Not going to do it. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, your line is trash, this person is trash, and I haven't been watching it. Y'all call them trash, ain't watched a lick of anything. Just because they're the Steelers, you're just going to call them trash because you just hate the Steelers. See, you lose credibility doing that, BJ. You lose all credibility doing that.
That's the hate you're going to get when you're the top organization in the NFL.
That's right. And that's why I just shrug my shoulders and do what? This is for BJ. And bring out the towel. This for you, BJ. You didn't get to see it yesterday, so you can see it today.
Wow. Well, it is what it is. Steelers Nation, y'all see the terrible town. We would like to thank y'all for tuning in.
shout out to my sister Sheila Mullen. She's watching. Another Steelers fan.
Shout out to Sheila. Do you have any last words, Jen?
Well, my last words are, I'm excited for the Olympics. I want to give praise to Simone Biles and Simone Manuel, both Black women making the Olympics again. Simone Manuel, disappointingly, she won't be participating in the 100-meter race, but she is in the 50, and she is so fast. She was the first Black female swimmer to win gold in the Olympics. So she's back this Olympics, and I follow her, and I just cannot wait. I love the Olympics anyway, but I'm really anxious to see. Oh, shout out to North Carolina A&T men's track relay team. They're going to be there representing. Okay. I'm just really excited. I'm all about the Aggie pride.
All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. This is the Side Jump. Each and every Saturday morning, we'll be coming to you. And we appreciate everybody that's coming out. Make sure y'all tune in to us each and every Saturday morning. We will be coming to you with more and more information. This is the Side Jump.
Side Jump.
Oh, snap. I can't even. I hit the wrong button. Hold on. Oh, now I'm stuck. Okay. This is crazy. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen.